بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we were discussing the issue of the noble manners and dealing with the people. And this is something that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has commanded in this narration, وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. And deal with the people. Deal with the people with good manners. We have seen Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he has mentioned that in reality this good manners, treating the people with the best and noble conduct, is from the attributes and characteristics of at-taqwa. It has preceded then the first wasiyah in this narration from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ittaqillaha haythuma kunta, to fear Allah wherever you may be. So this issue has preceded, yani the issue of the command to have the taqwa of Allah in every situation, in public and in private. And likewise it has preceded as well that whenever deficiency comes with regards to that, the way to rectify it and to fix it, and that is in his statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa atbi'i sayyata al-hasanata tamhuha, and follow up the badi with the goodi, it will erase it, and we erase it. We have seen the details of that. But he is saying here, now the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and treat the people with good manners. But this is in reality from the attributes of at-taqwa. From the attributes of at-taqwa is to treat the people with good manners. And he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala, rather taqwa will not, at-taqwa will not be complete except by way of this. Except by way of having good manners and dealing with the people properly. The taqwa will not be complete. The taqwa will not be complete. A person's faith in his iman will not be complete, and his deen will not be correct until he deals with the people with good manners. He deals with the people with good manners. So we see the benefit of this issue here, that after mentioning the general commandment with taqwa and piety and the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to specify one of the characteristics of that taqwa, which is to have good manners and to deal with the people, with the creation, with good conduct, this is an indication of the importance of that affair. This is an indication of the importance of that affair. We have seen that in reality, the whole religion is manners. The whole religion is manners. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, إِنَّمَا أُرْسِلْتُ أَوْ إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that I have only been sent to complete the moral characters and the noble and upright and lofty manners. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا, I was only, for the only reason, he's mentioning sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent, min sent as a messenger with revelation, لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, so that I can complete the noble and upright manners. And we have seen that the whole deen is manners, the whole religion is manners, and whoever establishes the deen, the obligations, and by performing them, and the prohibitions by avoiding them, and then on top of that, he has the good and noble manners and the lofty conduct, then he has a higher status and rank in the deen. Then he has a higher status and rank in the deen. As Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that man zada alayka fi al-khuluq zada alayka fi al-deen, that whoever has better and increases over you in manners and in conduct, then he has increased over you in deen. Meaning after establishing the foundation of the deen, after establishing the fundamentals of the deen, one will strive to complete and perfect that deen by perfecting his manners and his conduct and his dealings with the people. And we have seen also in the previous class, barakallahu fikum, that he mentioned a great point, and that is that many times, whenever individuals, they're guided to the straight path, whenever somebody is guided to the straight path, meaning to the knowledge of Allah and His greatness and His majesty and His right to be worshipped alone, and knowledge of the halal and the haram, and knowledge of the sunnah and the difference between the sunnah and innovation and the likes like this, and the knowledge of the methodology of as-salaf as-salih and the likes, many times they will give great concern to this with regards to the rights of Allah, with regards to establishing the worship of Allah, and they will neglect the rights of the creation, and they will neglect the rights of the people. And this is something that happens a lot. And the one who is truly successful, and the one who is truly establishing the deen, and the one who is truly following the way of a salaf al-salih, is the one who establishes the rights of his Lord. No doubt about that. But likewise, from the completion of establishing the rights of Allah, is establishing the rights of the creation that Allah has given them. Is establishing the rights of the creation that Allah has given them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has given the people rights. And the people, they differ with regards to their rights. And some of the rights of the people, certain individuals or classes of people, they have greater rights than others, or their rights are more highly emphasized than others. For example, the parents. For example, the parents, they have a great right. A great right over the child. A great right over the child. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's mentioning the general principle. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And treat all of the people. خَالِقِ النَّاسِ. He didn't say وَخَالِقِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أو الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أو الصَّالِحِينَ. لَا خَالِقِ النَّاسِ. Deal with all of the people with good manners. Meaning put the rights that belong to them in the proper place. And deal with the people with the manners of the legislation. With the manners of the legislation. And the one who understands his property, he will always go back in his dealings with the people to the first wasiyah. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. And in this manner, he will be able to deal with the people in good manners. And he will be able to give the people their rights, because in reality, he's not dealing with the people. In reality, he's not dealing with the people. Who is he dealing with? He's dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His actions and his movements and his smile in the face of his brother. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about the وَتَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةً. To smile in the face of your brother is a charity. So then a believer, whenever he has a cheerful face and whenever he has good manners meeting his brother and the likes like that, he's not doing that to try to get something from his brother. He's not trying to do that. He's not doing that to try to get something from his brother. Rather, he's doing that trying to get something from Allah. So this is the point here. Yani from the completion of the deen is to deal with the people with good manners, meaning for the sake of Allah. To be kind to your parents for the sake of Allah. To obey and honor your parents, even whenever they ask you to do something you don't want to do. But it's permissible, and they have the right for that. One will comply to that. For what reason? For the sake of Allah, so what, to please Allah. Rida al-Rabbi fi rida al-Walid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that the pleasure of the Lord is in the pleasure of the father or of the parent, in the pleasure of the parent. Wa sakhat al-Rabbi fi sakhati al-walid. And likewise, the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla is in the anger of the parents. So a believer, he will remember these affairs and he will give the parents their rights. He'll give the parents their rights. And even whenever the parents call him to disobey, how would he disobey them? And even if the parents call him to disobey Allah, to call him to shirk, for example, or to call him to, for example, somebody has a non-Muslim mother or father, and they ask him to go to the store and buy some pork chops for them, or some pizza with pepperoni, that is, of course, any haram, or to get alcohol for them, or to buy cigarettes for them, or they invite them to church and the likes like that. What would he do now? He will excuse himself kindly. Ahsant. That's how you do it. These words are, he will excuse himself kindly. Even in this situation, whenever he's forced to disobey his parents. At this time, it's not permissible to obey his parents. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ. There's no obedience to the creation and the disobedience of Allah. So at this time, he has to disobey his parents. But how would he do that? He would excuse himself in a beautiful manner. And he will explain his situation. But whenever he disobeys them, he will disobey them with honor. He will disobey them with respect. Naam, and this is what Allah, He has commanded in His book. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Don't obey them. But what should you do? وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But you must accompany them in this life. Yani with goodness. If that's the case for... If Allah in this verse here, Surah Al-Luqman, He's commanding the child that if the parents, both of them, not only call him to shirk, in jahadaka, striving against you, putting much effort to call you to shirk, then He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't obey them, but you must accompany them in this life with good manners in a good way. How about the one who calls to tawheed? If that's the right for the one for the parent who calls his son or his daughter to shirk, how about that right for the one of the parent who calls his son to tawheed, calls his son to the sunnah, calls his son to remember Allah, or daughter to remember Allah, to establish the deen of Allah, even the right is even greater. The right is even greater. So the point is here that the people, they have to be dealt with good manners, beginning with the first and foremost the parents. Likewise, from those who have the greatest rights above the people, rights that are distinguished from others, the imam and the ruler. The ruler, the rights of the ruler is different from the rights of the creation, different from the rights of the people. And the right of the ruler is similar to the right of the father. To deal good with the ruler is like dealing good with the father. And that is, for example, if the father, he calls you to do something that's permissible, like salah, what do? You obey him. If he calls you to do something that's allowed, like to eat some particular food, what do? You obey him. Or if he orders you to do something that's permissible, like take out the trash, akramakum Allah, what do? You obey him. You obey him. That, but what if the father, he calls the son to buy the alcohol for him? What does he do? He disobeys him. But does he display that? Does he go to the street and does he announce that? My father is this and my father is that. Watch out, my father, he's commanding and exposing his father in front of the people and the likes like that. No, he will hide that. He will hide that. So likewise, the ruler on a greater level. The ruler, he has rights. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ. He to deal with the people with good manners, meaning according to the legislation, according to that which has come in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and the understanding of the Salaf, and the Sahaba, and the Tabi'een, and the likes like that. So then also dealing with the ruler, he has the rights. If he commands something that's permissible, he has to be obeyed. And if he ever commands something that is impermissible, then he will be disobeyed, but he will not be exposed, and the people will not go and exposing his faults outwardly and the likes like that, because he's like the father. So just as the same way that it will cause corruption in the household, it will cause corruption in the society by exposing the faults of the father, or exposing the faults of the ruler. So this is the case here. And وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. The point is that to deal with the people with good manners, it requires for a person to fear Allah first and foremost. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he began with that. And these good manners, they are only beneficial for a person whenever it is done in this manner. Whenever it is done in this manner. He deals with the people with good manners for the sake of Allah. With tawheed, with ikhlas, according to the legislation, and according to the understanding that is correct and revealed in the Quran and in the Sunnah, then the manners will be good. At this time, the manners will be good and they will be beneficial for somebody. But as for the individuals who have good manners, for example, and they're courteous and they're nice, but they claim that Allah has a son, is this good manners? Or these manners benefit them? They will not benefit them. It is even known in the times of Islam, even before al-Islam and Jahiliyyah, that the Arabs, many of them had good manners, they had noble manners, and many of them, they kept ties with their relatives, and many of them, they would be very honest, and they would leave off lying and the likes like this, and they were known for being generous. They were known for being generous. From them, Abdullah ibn Jud'an, and he was known for generosity, great generosity. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, هل من هذا نافعه شيء أو هل شيء من هذا ينفعه؟ Will any of that benefit him? Will any of that benefit him? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا ما قال في يوم ربي اغفر لي خطيئتي يوم الدين ربي اغفر لي خطيئتي يوم الدين. He never said that in his life. He never said that in his life. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins on the day of resurrection. Meaning he was not a believer. So all of that generosity is gone. All of that generosity, the benefit he had, and that was in this life. After that, he has nothing. After that, he has nothing. And likewise, the people from Islam as well. These are the disbelievers, examples of the disbelievers. And if they have good manners sometimes, but it will not benefit them with Allah Azza wa Jal. If they do not have tawheed, and if those manners are not done and used for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, from the people of Islam, there are those who have good manners, but they innovate in the religion. And they have good manners outwardly. What is apparent? Maybe they're nice or they're generous or they have some khayr with them and the likes like this. But then they innovate in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they ascribe to the sunnah of the Prophet that which is not from it. And the likes like, is this good manners? Oh, it's not good manners. It's not good manners. This is foul manners. This will not benefit them. Likewise, this one, this innovation is a great sin. This is just as the bad deeds are erased by the good deeds are erased as well by the bad deeds. And from the worst of all deeds is to ascribe to the deen of Allah that which is not from it, and to ascribe to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that which he was not upon, and to innovate in the religion of Allah azza wa jal. So therefore the manners and the etiquettes, they go back to this affair. They go back to this affair. Yani at-taqwa, piety, and doing it for the sake of Allah with tawheed, with ikhlas. also doing it according to that which is yani found in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the best of one's ability. So this is what he means here. He says, وَهَذَا مِنْ خِصَالِ التَّقْوَى وَلَا تَتِمُ التَّقْوَى إِلَّا بِهِ, that this is from the attributes of taqwa. Having good manners is from taqwa. And there are parts of, or aspects of good manners, and just as we have seen, there are some traits of taqwa that's obligatory. And there are other traits of taqwa that are recommended and not obligatory. But if a person, he were to fall short in performing the obligations of a taqwa, his deen will be decreased, and his soul and his body will be, or his self, he will be exposed accordingly. So from that, as well as good manners. Good manners. There are some good manners that's an obligation for a person. Some people, it's an obligation for them to deal with him with good manners. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. The parents, don't even say to them, أُفْ. Huh? So then somebody could never raise his voice. Never raise his voice over his mother or father. That's some foul manners. And foul manners that will bring weakness to the deen. Foul manners that it's an obligation to perform. The one who falls short with regards to that, what has he done to himself? He has caused his iman to fall. To fall accordingly, right? It's a major sin. It's a major sin. So this is something that the prayer is not going to rectify, and that the wudu is not going to rectify, and that the righteous actions are not going to expiate. Rather, this one requires tawbah. It's a major sin. It's a major sin. That's from manners. Manners dealing with the parents and how one speaks to the parents. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Say to them a noble word, a nice word, a good word, a word with honor and respect. With honor and respect. This is from the obligations about Islam with regards to manners. This is just example. So it's very important for a believer to be aware of these affairs and to strive to rectify his manners and his conduct with the people, beginning with those who are most important, and from them the parents. Yani there's a great imam, yani from the imams of the Sunnah, al-Imam al-Bukhari. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 256. Everybody knows al-Imam al-Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail, Abu Abdullah al-Bukhari. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a book that he singled out to discuss the issues of manners. It's called Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. Naam, he has in Sahih al-Bukhari, he has Kitab al-Adab. And then he wrote a book, that's a book from the books of Sahih al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Adab. Then he wrote a book that's a single book called Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. And to distinguish this one from that one. Yani, but in both books, he began these books here about the manners. About the manners, he began them with Bir al-Walidain. Bir al-Walidain. The people of knowledge, they mentioned there's a benefit in that. This book is all about manners. This Al-Adab al-Mufrad or even Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari, that whole book is all about manners. All about manners, how one he will conduct himself. How he handles his business and the likes like that. Manners and etiquettes. Manners and etiquettes. But he began with what? Obeying the parents. Being kind and obedient and nice to the parents. Why? There's a wisdom behind that. It's as if he's saying to the reader, Barakallahu fikum, that all the manners that you're going to learn in this book, everything that comes after this, the one who has the most right for you to use them with is the parents. All these manners that you're going to learn, all these al-adab al-shar'iyya, these legislated manners that have come in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah, this good, noble, and lofty conduct, the ones who have the most right for them to be used with is the parents. So he began with the parents in this manner, beginning with the rights of the parents, and then after that, the relatives and the najar, and then after that, he goes into the issue of the manners and the conduct, from salam and from eating, and so on and so forth, until the end of the issues of the manners. So this is an indication that any from the most important people to have good manners with are the parents. Are the parents, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims. Whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims. So this is a very important affair. But likewise, even after that, with the rest of the people. Likewise, even after that, with the rest of the people. Beginning after that, from the most important, after the parents, who would be having, some people would have some very serious rights. The spouses, in the home, in the house, the family members, particularly the wife, and then from the female perspective, particularly the husband. And the issue here that the rights from the spouses, they're great with Allah Azza wa Jalla. They're great with Allah Azza wa Jalla. The right of the wife is great, and the right of the husband likewise is great. So these manners, they have to be used in the household first and foremost, between the husband and wife, and then likewise with the children as well. And then likewise with the children as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this affair in more than one narration. وَخَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. The best of you is the best of you to your family, and I'm the best of you to his family. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was good to his family. He was good to his family, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are narrations he will mention about this affair, about this affair. So then to have these manners, or to learn these manners, and to strive to refine one's soul in the application of these manners, this is jihad. This is jihad in nafs. This is what is obligatory for a person to learn and to strive to apply, and to have the conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to have the conduct of a salaf as-salih, and dealing with the people in general, and dealing with the people in general, to be able to carry oneself as a Muslim truly. As a Muslim truly. A Muslim, he has a demeanor about himself. A Muslim, he has a demeanor about himself. The way that he moves, the way that he talks, the way that he deals with his people, his transactions and the like this. The one who is following the Sunnah properly, he's not like the rest of the people. He's not like the rest of the people. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. The people of the fire and the people of Jannah, they're not the same. Not in the hereafter, of course, and they're not in the same in this life. That's how they wind up in different places. They wind up, the people of the fire, they don't do the actions and the statements, and they don't have the manner and the conduct of the people of the Jannah. Not in this life. And their destination is not the same in the hereafter. And likewise, the people of the Jannah, they don't act like the people of the fire. They don't have that conduct and those manners. Naam? So they're not the same. They're not the same. So the people of Jannah, they have traits. We have read many of them. We have read many of them, alhamdulillah. They have traits and they have conduct. And from them, this affair right here, that they fear Allah Azza wa Jalla as much as they can. And whenever they fall short, they repent and they seek forgiveness. And they try to rectify that by doing good deeds and increasing in good and righteous actions. And then likewise, whenever they deal with the people, they deal with them with good manners. They deal with them with good manners. They deal with them with good manners. So in our previous class, we were reading the statement of the author about what he mentioned about Al-Harith Al-Muhasibi. After that he says, قَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلِفِ قَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلِفِ, some of the pious predecessors they mentioned, جَلَسَ دَاوُودُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ خَارِيًا. جَلَسَ دَاوُودُ, داود عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, he sat alone by himself. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَ, so Allah, he said to him, مَالِي أَرَاكَ خَارِيًا, why do I see you alone? قَالَ حَجَرْتُ النَّاسَ فِيكَ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ, he said, I left the people for your sake. I left the people for your sake, O Lord of the worlds. قَالَ يَا دَوُودُ أَلَا أَدُلُّكُ عَلَى مَا تَسْتَبْقِي بِهِ وَجُهَ النَّاسِ وَتَبْلُغُ فِيهِ رِضَايَ خَالِكَ النَّاسَ بِأَخْلَاقِهِمْ وَاحْتَجِزْ الْإِمَانَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ. He said to him, عليه السلام, O Dawood, shall I not inform you of something that you will be able to keep, yani the pleasure of the people. The people will be pleased with you, meaning they will not turn away from you, they will accompany you, and at the same time you will be able to reach my pleasure. He said, deal with the people with their manners. Deal with the people with their manners. Deal with the people with their manners. Naam, and keep the faith between me and between you. This is yani from the Isra'iliyat, and from those narrations that have preceded. And the ulama, they mentioned the likes of these narrations, not as an evidence or a proof that they rely upon, but they say istinasin, or if these type of narrations, they contain some admonition that is also included in the evidences, yani that this affair is established and is something that is known in the general text of the Quran and the Sunnah, to mention them on the side is permissible and good, and from the way of the people of Hadith. They will not rely upon them as an evidence or a proof, but they'll mention them after establishing the issue and the topic. So we see here that this has proceeded. وَخَالِكَ النَّاسِ بِأَخْلَاقِهِمْ, and this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying here, وَخَالِكَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and treat the people with good manners, and treat the people with good manners. So the proof is in the statement of the Prophet, and these narrations that have come from the previous nations and likes like that, the people of Hadith, they'll mention them sometimes in this manner like this, yani just as any circumstantial evidence, or just yani to increase in benefit, or to receive the admonition, and so on and so forth. As for, is this ascribed to Dawood? Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. Any authentically, alayhi salam. He says, rahimahullah, وَقَدْ عَدَّ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ مُخَالَقَةَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ مِنْ خِصَالِ التَّقْوَى. And likewise, Allah, he has considered in his book and mentioned or clarified in his book that dealing with the people with good manners is from the traits of taqwa. بل بدأ بذلك. Rather, he began that. He began with that. في قوله أعدت للمتقين. Rather, he began with that. Rather, he began with that in establishing the issue. This is what he mentioned in the beginning. The first thing he mentioned about that. هذا من خصال التقوى. The statement of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, treat the people with good manners, is from the خصال التقوى. And now he's saying that verily Allah mentioned this in His book, and He clarified this affair in His book, that dealing with the people with good manners is from the attributes and from the characteristics and traits of التقوى. And he says, rather he began with that in his statement, سبحانه وتعالى عدت للمتقين. The paradise, it has been prepared for the people of التقوى. For the people of التقوى. Who are they? الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. This verse has preceded. This verse has preceded a number of times in the study of this hadith, walhamdulillah. And here to clarify that Allah Azza wa Jalla, whenever He mentioned the paradise, and that He has prepared the paradise for these people, the people of At-Taqwa, and then He described their traits. The traits He began with is these traits here. Those who spend in prosperity and in adversity, and they repress their anger, and they pardon the people. And Allah, He loves those who do good. And Allah, He loves those who do good. So He began these verses here, clarifying some of the traits of the righteous with regards to the rights of the people. They spend their wealth on who? On the people, in prosperity and in adversity, and in good times and bad times. When they have money, whenever they're also strained, or they're having any difficulty in poverty, and they spend their money. And likewise, whenever they become angry, what do they do? What كَالِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ, and they repress their anger, and they pardon the people. They go a bit further. After repressing their anger, they also even go further than that, and they pardon the people. And Allah, He loves the good doers. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla, in these verses, as the author, He's establishing, yani He mentioned the traits of taqwa, and then after that, mentioning directly dealing with the people with good manners. Spending money on the people and giving the obligatory charity and the non-obligatory charity to the people. This is good manners. This is from the best of the good manners. Al-Karam, Jud, Nam, Badr, Nada, to be generous, yani with wealth specifically. And also, whenever somebody will oppress somebody or wrong them or do an injustice to them or do something that they're not pleased with, and they repress their anger in front of that person and they do not become angry. This is also from the good manners. Dealing with the people. This is an example. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُوكٍ حَسَنٍ. How could you do that? You could spend on them. How could you do that? If they make you angry, you repress that and you don't execute that and you don't show that and you don't deal with them with anger and you don't deal with them harshly and you don't deal with them rudely. If they're rude, you don't deal with them rudely. If they're harsh, you don't deal with them harshly. For the sake of Allah. This is from the good manners. And then even after they dealt with you rudely and you did not deal with them rudely, then after that you pardon them. You don't hold nothing against them. This is even better. This is what he's mentioning here. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned this affair in His book. وَخَلَقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And it's in accordance with the Sunnah. In accordance with the Sunnah here like this. I have Tafsir Al-Qurtubi. Al-Qurtubi, he has a great Tafsir called Jami' Li-Ahkam Al-Qur'an. Al-Qurtubi, he died in the year 671. If we look in this verse right here, he mentioned an example of the Salaf in having good manners with the people. A beautiful example of one of the tabi'een and how you pardon the people. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned about refraining or repressing one's anger and not showing one's anger and fury, even when somebody has the ability, especially if it's somebody who's lesser. Especially if it's a peer, definitely you do that. But whenever somebody who's lower in status or in age or any and the likes like that, and a person, he has full ability to check them, he has full ability to let them know, he has full ability to express his anger, and he's not afraid of them recompensing him because they're younger than him or lower than him or they're under him in his authority and the likes like this. But the one who represses his anger at this time is even stronger and better, and the one who pardons at this time is even greater. So he's making he mentioned an example from one of the Salaf. His name is Maymun ibn Mihran. He died in the year that Qatada ibn Di'am al-Sudusi died in. Ah, 117, mashallah. So he's from the Tabi'in. He's from the Tabi'in. And it's mentioned in here that he says, أَنَّ جَارِيَتَهُ جَاءَتْ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ بِصَحْفَةٍ فِيهَا مَرَكَةٌ حَارَّةٌ وَعِنْدَهُ أَضْيَافٌ وَعِنْدَهُ أَضْيَافٌ. It's mentioned in here that a slave woman came and he has a young girl who is serving him. And he has guests with him. And she comes one day with a vessel of hot soup, of hot maraqa. Maraqa, al-maraq is like soup. It's like a type of food that has soup in it. Yani, so it has liquid in it. It has liquid in it. Not necessarily a soup, but it's the type of food that has liquid in it. That has liquid in it. And it's hot, harra. And he has guests with him. He has guests with him. So there's a slave woman here. What is her status in society? But that's very clear, right? He has guests with him. He's from the ulama of hadith, by the way. He's from the ulama of hadith. And he has guests with him. And this woman, she's coming now, and she's bringing this vessel with this hot food in it, with some liquid in the food. فَعَثَرَتْ. And she tripped. فَصَبَّتْ الْمَرَقَةَ عَلَيْهِ. She tripped, and she's bringing the food, and she tripped, and she spilled the sauce on him. She spilled the sauce on him. فَأَرَادَ مَيْمُونٌ أَنْ يَضْرِبَهَا. So he wanted to strike her. Yani he wanted to move. He wanted to strike her. فَقَالَتْ الْجَارِيَةِ. So the woman, she said, يَا مُولَيَ اسْتَعْمِلْ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالْكَاذِي مِنَ الْغَيْفِ. She said, oh مولاي, yani my owner, use the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla and those who repress the anger. Yani, فَقَالَ لَهَا قَدْ فَعَلْتُ. And he's about to get, she spilled this on him and she doesn't know what does she say? وَالْكَاذِي مِنَ الْغَيْفِ. The first thing that comes to her mind is the verse of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And what happens to him? He said, okay, I did it. I repressed my anger. This is an example likewise of the Salaf, how they will apply the narrations. If the hadith come to them, they'll stop. They'll stop. If the ayat come to them, they stop. And how many people, somebody would come right now, some, for example, some little person that doesn't have lots of status, and then they would drop in front of guests and everything, something hot on a person, he would jump and then, you know, he would be angry. And then he would hear the verse. And how many people will be able to do that? Hear the verse and stop. And this is the one who has success. But in any case, this is what happened to him. So she said, استعمل قول الله تعالى والكاذي من الغيث. And he applied the statement of Allah, the Most High, and those who repress their anger. قال لها قد فعلت. He said to her, I did it. And meaning I repressed my anger. And then after that, she says, قال اعمى بما بعده. He said, and if that's the case, then apply the part that's after that. What's after that? والعافين أهل الناس. And pardon the people. قال قد عفوت عنك. He said, verily I pardon you. It's all good. And I pardon you. I'm not going to take you to account. نعم. I'm not going to punish you. فقالت الجارية والله يحب المحسنين. And then she finished the verse and said, oh, and Allah, he loves the good doers. The verse, it goes like this. وَالْكَاذِي مِنَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ أَنَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So she mentioned each part like this, and he's going along. Nam, that's right. Nam, that's right. I'm not going to express my anger. I pardon you. Then she says the statement of Allah, and Allah, he loves those who do good. قَالَ مَيْمُونَ قَدْ أَحْسَنْتُ إِلَيْكِ فَأَنْتِ حُرَّ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ فَأَنْتِ حُرَّ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He said, verily, then I'm going to do good to you. And I set you free for the sake of Allah. And he freed her for the sake of Allah. So these are any examples that have come, any of the narrations of the application of the Safir. So a believer, he learns these things and he applies them. That's the point. He learns these things and he applies them. Applies them with his, and he, with in his home and outside of his home, and his job, with his co-workers, with his relatives and siblings. He applies them. And the time, whatever is really needed to be applied in times like this when it gets hot. And when this is the people of knowledge, they used to say that حسن خلق يعني اختبار الناس أو يختبر الناس بحسن خلق بالحسن خلق, that the people, they're tried, the people are tested by their manners, the people are tested by their, and the people are known by way of their manners and the likes like this, and the reality of a person, he is known. If he gets put in a hot situation, what is he going to do? He's going to explode. Is he going to bust? Is he going to lose composure? Is he going to start screaming at the people, yelling at the people, or is he going to contain himself? That's why many of the people of knowledge, they used to mention that you don't know somebody until you travel with them. You don't know somebody truly until you travel with them. That's why they call it السفر, السفر. لأنه يسفر عن أخلاق الرجال. السفر is from the verb أسفر. يعني it has the same root. يعني أسفر, أسفرت تقول أسفرت المرأة. يعني that she exposed her face. She exposed her face. But الإسفار is to display or to expose something or to show something. So they say that traveling exposes the reality of men. يعني their true manners and conduct. Because yani, whenever we're seeing each other from time to time, this is one thing. But to go through traveling, hardship and difficulty, yani, hunger and the likes like this, away from home and to be in different yani, situations where sometimes situations aren't the best. How do people act? Is he somebody who's laying back and waiting for everybody else to take care of him? Or is he one of those people who take care of the people? And the Salaf, they would be on journeys and they would take care of their companions. It's been mentioned about one of the Salaf, I forget his name right now. But he traveled with Ibn Umar and he wanted to serve him, but the whole time he served him. And he traveled with Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and his intention is to serve him, to benefit from him, but the whole journey he was being served. And so the point is that these hardship and hot situations and circumstances, whenever other people are not acting properly or with good manners, how will we act? How will you act? What will you do in these situations? This is the time to remember these narrations and to act accordingly. And sometimes a person has slipped. And sometimes somebody will act foolish with him and he will slip and he will not be able to contain himself. And he will act foolish with them. What should he do after that? Follow the bad. After that, he should have remorse. He should be like, oh, astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. How come I act like that? How could I act like that? Man, this man, he came talking crazy. And I know he's a fool. And he's acting foolish like this. And I know this person is like that. And he moved me like, alhamdulillah, caused me to come out of character. And then after that, the next time, inshallah, he won't get him. After that, the next time, he's not going to get him. Like that. Or especially inside the home, a man, he has to keep his cool with his family and keep his self contained with his family and not express that and verbally in that manner, in those sharp ways, in that sharp tone, and the likes like this, and he's striving. To do that, inshallah, maybe one time he slip or two times, and then after that, inshallah, like we mentioned before, what happens to the knife when you sharpen it? It gets hot. But pretty soon it gets sharp. Pretty soon it gets sharp. Like that, the soul. Barakallahu fikum. If it gets hot, things get hot with the soul. But the more you work with it, and the more a person he tries to do that for the sake of Allah, it will get easier. Inna ma'a al-usri yusra. Inna ma'a al-usri yusra. That these will come for the one who makes an effort. وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. That verily, those who strive in our cause, we need to be obedient to Allah. And from that, having good manners with the people. Those who strive in our cause and need to do these affairs, then verily Allah, He says, verily will guide them. Verily will guide them to our path. Verily will guide them to our path. When Allah, the ma'al muhsineen, and verily Allah is with those people who do good. He's with him by his aid and his support and his help. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the issue, dealing with the people with good manners. And from the best of that is to not show anger. And to pardon the people and to overlook the faults of others and the likes. So the author, he mentioned another narration, rahimahullah ta'ala. Again, this one is from the Isra'iliyat. He says, Rawa ibn Abi Dunya bi isnadihi and Sa'idin al-Maqburi. That Ibn Abi Dunya, he mentioned with his narration, rahimahullah, on Sa'id al-Maqburi. Sa'id al-Maqburi, he's from the students of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, him and his father. Sa'id al-Maqburi or Sa'id ibn Abi Sa'id. Him and his father, they both narrate on Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Qala balaghana anna rajulan ja'a ila Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. Balaghana anna rajulan ja'a ila Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. It has reached us it has reached us that a man, he came to Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. فَقَالَ يَا مُعَلِّمَ الْخَيْرِ. He said to him, O teacher of goodness, كَيْفَ أَكُونُ تَقِيًّا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. How can I be from the fearful and the obedient, yani from those who have taqwa, the fear of Allah عز وجل, كَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ, as he deserves, as he deserves. قَالَ بِيَسِيرٍ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ. He said, عليه السلام, from the easiest of affairs, or the lightest of affairs, تُحِبُّ اللَّهَ بِقَلْبِكَ كُلِّهِ, that you love Allah with your heart, all of it. That you love Allah with your heart, all of it. What would that mean? Is there a shahid for this? And because this is from those narrations. First, he said balagana. This is a sign that this is not. And then it's from Sa'id al-Maqburi. He's from the Tabi'in. He's narrating on. He's narrating on Isa ibn Maryam. Zahakam yani baynahum min al-fawaid min al-mafaz. Yani there's so many that definitely this one is not established. Is it authentic on Isa or not? We do not know that. These are from the affairs the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uhadithu an bani Israel la haraj. Yani narrate the narrations of bani Israel la haraj. Yani if they have any some admonition in them that are in accordance to what is found already. Yani here, yani he says tuhibbullah biqalbika kullihi, to love Allah with your heart, all of it. Huh? La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni, yani to love Allah azza wa jalla, yani with your heart, all of it, meaning to show preference to the command of Allah azza wa jalla. To show preference to the command of Allah over the command of your soul and to the things that you desire and love and to the command of the people. To love Allah more than you love yourself and to love Allah more than you love all of mankind. And in all of the people and everything in the dunya. And to show preference to that. And so this is something that is known. This is the foundation of faith. The foundation of an iman is to love Allah. To love Allah Azza wa Jalla and to love His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَتَعْمَلْ بِكَدْحِكَ بِكَدْحِكَ وَقُوَّتِكَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتَ, and to strive, to apply, and to work in obedience with all of your might and strength as much as you can. As much as you can. So this one here is in accordance with the statement, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ, to fear Allah wherever you may be. He says, وَتَرْحَمُ ابْنَ جِنْسِكَ كَمَا تَرْحَمُ نَفْسَكَ, that you show mercy to ibni jinsika. To ibn jinsika, just as you show mercy to your own soul. قَالَ وَمَنْ ibn jinsi يَا مُعَلِّمَ الْخَيْرِ. He said, so who? What is ibn jinsi? O teacher of goodness. قَالَ وَلَدُ آدَمْ كُلُّهُمْ. وَلَدُ آدَمْ كُلُّهُمْ. Meaning to all mankind. To all mankind. Show mercy to all mankind. وَمَا لَا تُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْكَ فَلَا تَأْتِهِ لِأَحَدٍ وَأَنْتَ تَقِيٌّ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ كَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. And that you love to he said in that وَمَا لَا تُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْكَ فَلَا تَأْتِهِ لِأَحَدٍ. He said, and that what you do not like to be done to you, don't do it to anybody. Don't do it to anybody. And then if you do this right here, then you will be تَقِيٌّ لِلَّهِ, yani from the muttaqeen. You will be somebody who truly fears Allah as he ought to be feared. كَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. كَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. Again, this is from those narrations that are not established and the likes, but the Salaf, they mentioned them sometimes. The scholars of hadith, you'll find them mentioning in their books like this. After the issue is established and the evidences are established from the Quran and the Sunnah, they'll mention these like this as beneficial reminders and admonition and the likes like that. But we have a narration from the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma. It's in Sahih Muslim, and there's no doubt about its authenticity, and it's in Sahih Muslim, and it has the same meaning. It has the same meaning. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَمَنَ أَحَبَ أَنْ يُزَحْزَحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَيُدْخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَلْتَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ بِالَّذِي أَوْ يَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever would like to be removed from the fire, taken far away from the fire, and admitted into paradise, then let his death come to him while he believes in Allah and the last day. Then let his death come to him while he believes in Allah and the last day. Now, meaning that he shows preference to Allah while he believes in Allah and the last day. What does that mean? Here again, the usul that we have learned so far. Naam, about al-Iman. What does that mean whenever the word Iman comes or any of its derivatives? Well, he believes in Allah in the last day. It's only in his heart, I believe like that. I'm a mu'min, I'm a believer. Huh? Actions and statements. Actions and statements. Well, he believes in Allah in the last day, and the one who believes in Allah and the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla on the last day, he's going to do the actions of Iman and the statements of Iman. So the one who wants to be removed from the hellfire and he would like to be admitted into paradise, then he has to have faith and apply that faith and work in the manner that that faith requires and it necessitates. And this is the one that he's talking about here. فَلْتَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Then let his death come to him when he's in this state. When he's in this state. And that is that he believes in Allah and the last day. Many times we will find in the Quran the mention of Allah and the last day. The mention of Allah and the last day. And these things, they go hand in hand. Because believing in Allah, meaning that he's the one who brought us into existence and that we're going back to him. And we're going to meet him. And we're going to see him. He's going to hold us accountable. He's going to hold the creation accountable for their actions. So we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجُمَانِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned about that. مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ. There's not one of you, except for his Lord is going to speak to him. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تُرْجُمَانِ. There's not going to be any translator between the two. There's not going to be any translator between the two. So the one who remembers this and is firm in his heart, he believes in Allah and the meaning of Allah Azza wa Jal, he's going to have goodness in his action and his speech. And he's going to be dealing with the people with good manners for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَتَتِيهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَيُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. How can somebody make sure that death comes to them while they believe in Allah and the last day? And while they're acting upon that way? How can you do that? Somebody, if he's going to die, he still has time. He knows what time is going to come. Huh? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is advising us to die, the one who wants to be removed from the fire and admitted into paradise, that his death should come to him while he believes in Allah in the last day. We know what belief means. It means to be applying the obligations of Iman. Huh? Uh-huh. They have to have the statement on the tongue and a belief in the heart and actions on the body parts. But the one who wants death to come to him, yani while he's in this state, what does he have to do? Huh? He has to live in that state. He has to live in that state. Because you don't know what death is coming. We don't know what death is coming. So somebody couldn't say today he believes and work in the path of Iman today and be on the straight path today, and tomorrow he's doing something different. Tomorrow he's on the path of disobedience, for example. Rather, in order for death to come to somebody while he believes in Allah in the last day and he properly, the iman that is beneficial and strong, he has to live upon that way. He has to live upon that way. He has to live upon that way. The one who lives upon iman in this manner, he'll die upon that. He'll die upon that. The one who lives upon that, he will die upon that. Huh? You understand that? This is what Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned likewise in that verse we studied as well. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi. Oh, you believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared. We've seen the meaning of that as well, alhamdulillah. Wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Do not die except in a state of submission as a true Muslim. While you're Muslims, how can somebody die as a Muslim? He has to live as a Muslim. If you live as a Muslim, you will die that way, inshaAllah. He will die. As for the one who is wishy-washy, mudhabdhab, one day he is upon the obedience, ya'budallaha ala harf. Whenever it's all good, he worships Allah. Whenever he goes through hardship, he disobeys Allah. Whenever it's coming to him easily, he's strong in faith. And whenever he's going through hardships, he forgets Allah Azza wa Jalla and he blames the decree and so on. Or he falls into disobedience this day and he prays that day and then he's negligent this day. Nah, this person, he don't know how he's going to die. Maybe death is going to come on the day he's not obedient. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. He would have a bad ending. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say in the second wasiyah? Follow up the bad deed with a good deed. And he said the person is going to always be doing good deeds. Even if he does a bad deed, he's still doing good deeds. And in order to be able to die while he's a Muslim, in order to be able to die while he believes in Allah and the last day, this is the greatest success and the greatest blessing and the greatest honor to have, to die while you believe in Allah in the last day. To die as a Muslim, a good Muslim. To die upon piety. This is the best honor. أعظم الكرامة لزوم الاستقامة. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, the greatest honor. The greatest honor and blessing is one for one to be steadfast upon obedience. All the way until the angel comes. all the way until the angel comes. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His grace and for His blessing and for His mercy and kindness. So this is the case here. That's the first part. Any to that whoever would like to be removed from the hellfire and admitted into paradise, first and foremost, he must believe in Allah in the last day. And death must come to him while he's in that state. While he's in that state. Naam, and then he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is with regards to the rights of Allah. The rights of Allah. This is for who? Whoever wants to? Yuzahzaha al-nar. He wants to be taken away from the fire. Wuyudkhal al-jannah. And admitted into paradise. First, he fulfills the right of Allah. وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ أَلَذِي يُحِبُّ وَنْيُتَى إِلَيْهِ. And that he should treat the people the manner he would like to be treated. He should treat the people in the manner he would like to be treated. The people of knowledge, they mention a great, great benefit about this statement right here. And the first part definitely we see about dealing with Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he covered that. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثَ مَا كُنْتَ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي سِرِّ عَمْرِكَ وَعَلَانِيَتِهِ اسْتَحْيِ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَ الْحَيَاءِ. We've seen the meaning of that. Here with likewise, in order to be removed from the fire and to be admitted into paradise, that's not enough. Likewise, you have to treat the people. وَخَالِكَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ وَلْتَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ أَلَذِي تُحِبُّ وَنْيُتَى إِلَيْهِ. That you treat the people the way that you would like to be treated. The way that you would like to be treated. So likewise, to fulfill the rights of the people. So if a person were to ask, and if, for example, the meaning of this statement, and deal with the people with good manners, what does that mean? How can I see if I'm dealing with the people with good manners or not? Huh? Wait, that's right. Ahsan. This is the criterion. This is the scale for a believer to know, is he truly dealing with the people with good manners or not? If he deal with somebody, his wife, his child, his neighbor, his co-worker, or the one who is working under him, huh? Or whatever, his helper, anybody in life. And if he wants to know, did I deal with him good or not? What will he do? After he's done dealing with them, he would ask himself, if I was that man or that person, would I like for him to deal with me like that? Would I like for him to deal with me like that? And with your neighbor, for example, your neighbor does something or you do something, you ask yourself, would I like for my neighbor to do that to me? What I did to him, would I like for him to do that to me? If I say, yeah, if he did that to me, Allahu Akbar, I would love that. Then you said, Alhamdulillah, I'm good. But if you say, would I like for him to do that to me? And I said, no, I would not like for him to do that. Then I did not, huh? I did not have the good manners. I did not give him his right that is required. At this time, I should start following up that bad deed with some good deeds. Start following up that bad deed with a good deed. For example, with the child or with the parents. With the parents. And if you were a parent, would you like your child to deal with you the way you deal with your parents? Would you like your child to deal with you the way that you deal with your mother? Let the children ask themselves this net right now. Would you like for your child, if you have a child, to deal with you that way? And if so, alhamdulillah, you're upon khayyah. But if you would not like for your child to deal with you like that, then you're not dealing with your parent right. You're not dealing with your parent in the right way. And whatever the situation, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim, however you would deal with him, you have to deal with him the way that you would like to be dealt with. The way that you would like to be dealt with. This is the criterion in having good manners and dealing with the people. This is like the determining factor. This is the determining factor. Did I deal with him right? I don't know. Would I like to be dealt with that? Would I like to be dealt with like that? If so, I dealt with him right. And if not, that did not deal with him right. This is the issue here. وَتَأْتِي إِلَى النَّاسِ أَلَّذِي تُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْكَ. That you وَلْيَأْتِي إِلَى النَّاسِ أَلَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. That you deal with the people as he dealt with the people as he likes to be dealt with. وَأَنْتَ تَأْتِي. You do that as well, in the manner that you would like to be dealt with. In the manner that you would like to be dealt with. If somebody made a mistake, And then after that they apologized. Somebody took a person's right, violated his right, transgressed his right, and then after that he wronged him. Whatever the case may be, whatever type of wrong it may be, financially or verbally, or in his family, and then after that he came to him and apologized. If you were that person that slipped into that wrong, and then after that you tried to apologize, how would you like to be dealt with? If you messed up and you wronged somebody, and then you felt bad about that and you want to apologize, what would you like for them to do to you? to accept your apology. So what should you do to the people who apologize to you? Accept their apologies. Huh? This is the issue here. Before I forget, inshallah, we're almost finished with this narration. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we finish in a few more classes. So with that being said, we will start going back to our old schedule. Yani, inshallah, next week, we will go back to Umdat al-Ahkam. Umdat al-Ahkam on Sunday and Monday. On Sunday and Monday, and we are in the chapter of Wujub al-Tumanina wa khushu' fi salah, in the chapter in the book of Salah. So Sunday and Monday, we're going to go back to Umdat al-Ahkam, as we had spoken before. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we're waiting to start the new book. But before we start the new book, we finish this narration. Maybe next week or the week after that, we finish. Then we start the new book, which is, who knows? Al-Kabair by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, naam, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So then again, next month, Sunday and Monday, we start back where we left off in Umdat al-Ahkam. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we finish what was left from this narration. And then when we finish this, we start the new book of Kabair. Both books are available, inshallah, in the Maktaba here, alhamdulillah, for anybody who wants to get one to follow along. Back to the narration, that you deal with the people as you like to be dealt with. You deal with the people that as you like to be dealt with. If you were, for example, if one of us were a young child, and he 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and in this area right here, and now Salat is becoming obligatory. It's becoming obligatory. And you are alive in these days, under the circumstances of the children that live in these days, with devices and the things they see, and the reality that our children are facing. And it's time for Fajr, and they're sleeping, and you're sleeping. How would you like for your father to wake you up? You're learning right now, for the past, your whole life, praying is not an obligation. Now it's almost an obligation. And the father has to start getting you up in the morning and getting you ready for salah. And how would you like to be woken up? Loud voices. Would you like to hear loud voices in the first thing? Name calling, lazy. You don't never pray. Talk. Would you? I would not like that. I wouldn't like that. Who would like that? So should we do that to our child? How would you like to be woken up for Fajr? Like, how would you like to be raised? If you were to be raised, if your father was going to raise you upon the sunnah, upon getting up, how would you like to be raised? Kindness. How, with kindness, calling with the best name, and he forcing you, like, for example, if he's super tired, then maybe you don't make him pray the first time. Let him sleep. Let him sleep. You go pray, you come back, make sure he gets up before the time, you know, like this, but you know how. So you don't have to force him to get up at the first time. Maybe let him, you go pray, you come back, he's still sleeping, get up. But then how, you talk to him with a good word. Talk to him in a good manner. Talk to him, and you encourage him. The salah, the salah, ya Allah. Allah, he loves those who pray. Allah loves those who pray. You have to fear Allah, you have to pray. You know, Allah, so many good things Allah give you. Barakallah fiqh. And make dua for them. Allahumma yassir, Allahumma yassir. And you make dua for yourself in your own situation likewise. But you don't yell at them. Would you like to be yelled at this time? Would you like to be called names at this time? Or to be belittled at this time? The person who is cultivated like this, is he going to grow up loving Salat? Salat is going to be heavy on them. Because of why? Because Salat is heavy? Or because the manners that the parent dealt with them are heavy? Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this affair, a great and beneficial statement. He said, "In al-haq taqeel." And the haqqa thaqeel, that verily the truth is heavy. Falatu thaqiluhu ala nas bi su'i akhlaqikum. So don't make it heavier upon the people with your bad manners. The truth is heavy. The fact that he is 12, 13, in a few years, 14, it's an obligation for him to start getting up. You have to raise him upon that way in a good way. This is one example. For example, a father is having his son, a young boy, teenager, maybe help him work on the car or something like this that requires tools. But if you were in the situation, for example, you're 15 and you've never learned anything, you don't know a Phillips from a flathead. Nobody ever sat you down and said, this is a Phillips, this is a flathead, this is a crescent, this is a ratchet. Nobody ever told that to you. And then the first thing, your dad comes to you and we fix it. Give me the ratchet. You bring him the flathead. What does he do? Yell at him, you don't know nothing about it. But you didn't teach him. You didn't teach him the difference between, so you can't expect him. How would you like to be treated in this situation? You brought the flathead and you're asked to bring a crescent wrench. On accident, but you don't know. You got over there and your mind is going crazy. Which one is the flat? Bismillah. And you grab the flathead on accident. How would you like for somebody to correct you? Yeah, say, Barakallah fi, Jazakallah khair. This one right here, this is called flathead. This one over here, and you, to be shown, to be directed, to be taught, to be cultivated, to be raised. This is what is required. This is what is required. May Allah give us success. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.